What's up, dudes? It's a Cyclone Fanatic podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the seniors. What's up, Rob Gray? I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back, although you got to, you know, enjoy a week mostly to yourself. You had some things to jump onto while I continued hibernating, except for a FOIA request for the Matt Campbell contract, getting that posted. But, yeah, always good to join you, and it was nice to be at your graduation gala in beautiful Clarinda, Iowa.
What were your thoughts on your first ever excursion to Clarinda? Well, you didn't get the full effect. I apologize that you weren't able to get the full Clarinda experience, but
yeah, I'm not so sure I would have wanted the full Clarinda experience, but I appreciate the sentiment. The beautiful little county park there, the Nottoway Valley Park.
Yeah,
went up there. I always try to hit a little park wherever I go. Just as we did on that one of our Kansas road trips.
For sure.
You know, it's a scenic drive. And, you know, my in-laws live in Corning, so it's not, you know, that far away from you guys. Stopped at the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Yeah, what were your impressions of the Axe Murder House?
$10 for a quote-unquote tour. A dude just kind of details the history to you. It doesn't take long. But then you can stroll through the house. You know, there's a cellar upstairs. It's kind of creepy walking up the staircase just because it feels so confined, you know, and you know what happened there. And, you know, it's an interesting stop. There were a number of people stopped there. Somebody from Oklahoma was stopped there, and somebody was mowing his yard like two houses up, you know, so kind of a weird setting.
Did it feel like it was a place that people had been murdered?
You know, your mind kind of puts that in your brain puts that in the back of your mind, you know, your thought process. So as you walk around and you look at the, they have portraits of everyone that was murdered in there. And you study those and you see things, and there are dolls and this kid's, and you know, you just, your mind starts working a little bit. Any sight of something terrible, I think, gets you, you know, is there something there? You know, we know what Chris would say. Of course there's something there. Chris is a big ghost guy, right?
Right, I think so, yeah.
But I think, you know, we get ourselves, like I've been to some historic sites where some awful things have happened, and there are areas you go and you just feel like a sense of unease or something.
That crime, I feel like it like perfectly personifies like the early 1900s.
Yeah.
Like, however many people, what was it, like six people get killed by...
It was eight.
Eight people, so yeah, eight people get killed, and then the next day, people are just walking through the house, like, looking at the fact that all these people...
They're
got,
going through all what right. would be the crime scene evidence.
Yeah, and it just, so then, I mean, it just ruined it all. They were never able to catch who did it.
I can just see, so, you know, Farmer Bob coming in, smoking his corn cob pipe, you know, and... Yeah, what's this? Oh, man, that's a whole mess of blood over there. Why I have him sounding like he's some half-assed Southerner, I don't know. It is Southwest Iowa, after all.
We don't speak with a Southern accent in Southwest Iowa.
I know.
You also met the nice folks at the at Casey's. You got to see the Clarinda Academy.
Yep. It's what an impressive bunch of buildings, you know, back when public work, you know, they needed – just put people to work, and they put them to work building those magnificent brick structures there.
At one time, that the Clarinda MHI building was the tallest building in the world.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
There's
your fact for you. That's your fun fact for the day.
That's all I have to say about that.
As always, the seniors is brought to you by Performance Concrete Polishing. You can check them out at their showroom in Urbandale. Give them a call, 515-202-6706. Check them out online, performanceconcretepolishing.com. Rob, I see your driveway out here. It's concrete and it's boring.
It is
What
boring.
Can we do to make this better?
Well,
you can give your friends at Performance Concrete Polishing a call.
Certainly. I would think more with the interior and the garage area, you know, when you're doing stuff.
You can just get all your concrete.
Yeah, but...
We've talked about the garage before. We haven't ever talked about the driveway.
Yeah, I mean, anything, they'd make anything beautiful. There's no doubt about that. So, Yeah, definitely. Definitely ring him up. We gotta head out there sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe we could do a seniors on location.
Yeah, we're gonna do a seniors on location from Performance Concrete Polishing and the Velisca Axe Murder House.
Oh, nice. We could do
stay
an
the night.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would be something.
I think we talked about this, but I don't think they have electricity in there, do they? They've restored the house to like.
They have. They added. I think they added room air conditioners because of how the summers can be. But it's a registered historic site, so they have to comply in certain ways. It can't be like I'm not sure exactly how that works. That would be an interesting remote. You know, you could. I think I joked with you. You could have your cooler of Busch Light hanging outside on the porch and. I could have a bottle of scotch out there, and we could sit out there, go in, sit out there, go in. After we'd
just
spend
wait
some
to
time
find
on
out
the porch.
If we're going to get murdered by someone wielding an axe.
At least, maybe perhaps we would solve the mystery, but we'd be dead.
So there's that.
Yeah, that would be a bittersweet. call that a bittersweet revelation.
So you mentioned. The Matt Campbell contract at the beginning. This is kind of old news, I guess.
Yeah.
But there was something you said to me the other day we were talking, that you had some questions. That something confused you, wasn't there?
Well, it's just the way that it was interesting to see how the standard compensation or the regular was 265, and then they had the additional 1.7 plus to make it 2 million, and then it comes down a little bit. And the incentive package is so different. And people have talked about this too, but
yeah.
500K to get 6 wins. I understand that because that's got to be the standard to get back to. And then, you know, what it was, 100K for a share or an outright Big 12 title. Just imagine if that happened, you know.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, would unprecedented almost. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's certainly modern era-wise. But I also liked in the $500,000 deal, though, the $100,000 wiggle room to have like a bonus pool for the assistants, so you're building in that flexibility there that coaches often try to negotiate, you know, for better contracts to keep, you know, retain their staff. I think this group is so tight they're going to try to hang for a long time, but everyone's got ambitions, and you know, if you make a name for yourself as, you know, a great offensive coordinator or as a great D-backs coach, I mean, and somebody wants to offer you something, you know, everyone's going to pursue other opportunities. So I definitely like those things. And obviously you got to speak to him at your first tailgate tour stop. The tailgate tour is, I know Chris, he celebrated it in a way in his Monday musings, I believe. It's a nice deal. I mean, I've been to a number of those stops and reported from them, and you know, the fans appreciate it. The level of intimacy, I think, is very unique. And, I mean, you saw it. How did it impress you?
It was interesting. There's a lot of people there. And I think Jamie Pollard, he was pretty honest about some stuff with realignment and some of his thoughts. You know, you can go back. I wrote a little Q&A yesterday after from the Arby's in
nice.
In Carroll. So, yeah, he talked a lot about being pro-discussion for realignment and, you know, how there's too many different factors. And I think we already knew that. You know, there's just too many different things that play into this decision, and that's what's making it so hard to make a decision.
Yeah, and there's...
Sorry, I kind of flipped the script on
you. That's all right. There's money in play. There's what university president likes this, what doesn't. Of course, you had the Oklahoma deal where the Board of Regents is, to some degree, at odds with Boren, or at least that was the story a while back, and then they said, no, we're fine, we're this and that, but they did state that they didn't think that expansion was a great idea, and Boren has been, you know, kind of leading the charge for it. So a lot of politics, a lot of money. That means with those kind of moving parts, you just got to kind of ride the wave. But I think at least it's more of a positive wave this time. I know the stress on Pollard and, you know, the Iowa States, the K-States, when Nebraska, you know, when chaos erupted a few years ago, that was really tough because they didn't know if there would be a Big 12 anymore.
Right.
I think now the presumption is not only is there going to be a Big 12, but Big 12 has reasserted itself as one of the major conference players, you know, unless it goes someday to just two mega conferences, you know, West and East, and all the other things are lost there. You know, you're in the mix. So different kind of stress, but I always appreciate Jamie's frankness. You know, he speaks clearly, and he's not going to mince words. So that as a reporter, you always appreciate that.
We also got a chance to talk to Steve Prohm. One of the big topics was what they're going to do with this last roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, Chris Williams, well, there was somebody, the guy from Hoop Scene, is that right? Corey Evans?
Sounds right.
Broke that Romello White, a four-star, 6'9", power forward from Georgia, will be visiting Iowa State over the Memorial Day weekend, and then Chris Williams did confirm that later on. So, obviously that would be pretty big time. A high school kid.
Yeah.
At 6'9", number 77 prospect in the country, according to ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be huge. You wonder how much the Southern ties bind, you know, with him, because when you look at the other schools, he's reportedly considering VCU, Auburn, Georgia, and then I know Chris reported that he had visited Arizona State, which is kind of outside the box there, but Bobby Hurley trying to wants to make that program something consistently decent.
Hey, they had James Harden, dude.
Yeah, and I mean, they've had some teams in the past that were pretty good, but they've been in a traditional power, it would not be a word, you know.
Right.
Usually towards the bottom of the Pac-12, particularly in recent years. But, yeah, I mean, that would be a huge get. And it certainly – everyone wants that 2017 to crystallize now. That, you know, 2016 looks pretty clear. And I know the Malou thing was a bummer. But there were so many hoops to jump through just to play hoops at Iowa State. I can't fault the guy. For choosing the NBA route, for sure.
I'm going to drop a hot take.
Yes, let's have it.
If Iowa State can get Romello White, they'll be in a better position than they would have been if Emmanuel Malou had come to Iowa State.
I think that's a very good take. I mean, we don't know. I mean, because Malou was probably, if he did come, he certainly desired to be a one-and-done guy.
Right.
So here you've got a chance at least. And, hey, if he's a one-and-done guy, that's great. You're at least equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a, you know.
And if he's a one-and-done guy, then it means he probably came here and had a pretty damn good year.
Yeah, and probably, unlike Ben Simmons at LSU, the team probably had a pretty good year too.
Right.
When you look at the, you know, there's some nice, and everyone's, you know, you got the six seniors this year. You've got a lot of guys that are going to be gone, which makes this year more exciting than I think people thought it would be a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, you thought Monte was coming, you know, all the things clicking into place. But 2017 became then, oh no, what's going to happen then? Well, you're starting to see some things, some momentum here, with Prohm and his staff. So, stay tuned, I guess, on all that stuff, but, you know, good signs for sure.
Definitely. All right. We've got a top five list. Do you want to intro it?
Yeah, top five sports venues. I don't have my Twitter up at the moment. I'd like to thank whoever submitted it to us. we're tackling it. There's so many, but I think we decided to confine it to college.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've got pro venues. I mean, I've been to a number of them, but there's so many others I would love to go to. I tried to include some Big 12 flavor in mine as well. It's not going to sound like it in the beginning, but we've had some epic, you know, Allen Fieldhouse. Your first Allen Fieldhouse trip was pretty cool, and we shared that. It was my second time at Allen Fieldhouse, and our trip to Bramlage impressed me more than I thought.
Definitely.
It would. That atmosphere is nice.
It wasn't, I'm not going to say it was rabid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was the Octagon of Doom on that day, but yeah. I could see how it could be when they're good.
Yeah, and when they were hanging around and it was like 6-7 point game, fans were into it. And yeah, when they're good, if you're sort of in a game and you know your team isn't very good, you get into it for that moment, right. Those moments where you're sort of crawling back in. But in the back of your mind, you kind of know, hey, we're not going to do it. I think that's kind of where K-State fans were with their basketball program this season. So it wasn't, as you say, as rabid. But I don't know. Did you want to throw anything in for just how you ticked any of those off, or should we dive right into my number five?
I've got a couple honorable mentions. Actually, a lot. The Dean Dome.
Oh, yeah. That would be one of mine, too.
Pauley Pavilion.
That's a good honorable
at UCLA.
Mention. Yep.
Rupp Arena.
Yes.
At Kentucky. Bryant-Denny Stadium, Alabama football.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan-Hare Stadium, Auburn football.
Yeah.
Both Death Valleys.
Yes.
Clemson and LSU.
Mm-hmm. I take LSU first, for sure.
Assembly Hall at Indiana.
I've got family in Baton Rouge.
Nice.
Maybe I should.
Baton Rouge makes my list.
Maybe I should tackle that, you know. It's a bit, you know, they do. That's for another day.
Okay. Assembly Hall in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Indiana Hoops. The Coliseum in USC.
Oh, yeah.
The Horseshoe.
How about the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, that'd be up there, too.
Yeah.
The Horseshoe.
Horseshoe, for sure.
And the Big House.
Those are great ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know what I'd add. I mean, I think for honorable mentions, you know, Penn State football is one.
They made my list.
Yeah. And trying to think. You had a pretty nice comprehensive list there. There might be a few other basketball arenas that would be of interest. I mean, I think Wisconsin's been so good lately. It would be pretty cool to see the Kohl Center mm-hmm. in full effect, maybe playing somebody.
Maybe like East Lansing, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, pro venues, like I said, we could go on and on and on and on and on. But, no, I like those. And it would. I've seen BYU football because I covered a UNI BYU mm-hmm. game, and that's just an incredible setting for a football game. The mountains just ringing the place. And similarly, I think a school like Utah or maybe Boise is a beautiful setting, but that field
you
know, is something. But
so you're anti-blue turf?
I'm into settings a little bit. Oh, very much so.
I think I'd throw Autzen Stadium on my list as well.
Mm.
Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, particularly with all the
And Washington's upgrades. Washington's new football stadium on the water. Or I don't know if it's – their old one was on the water. I don't know if the new one is. But
yeah, I'm sure I'm sure it's nice.
Yeah.
But
all right, top five. Let's go. Number five.
My number five is one of your honorable mentions, Assembly Hall. Just so much history there. It would be fun to stroll through like, you know, Allen Fieldhouse was. Even before the game and experiencing the environment, you know, I can think back to watching so many games. You know, the ghosts, I could probably almost hear that chair screeching across the
Did you read the story about when Dennis Dodd tried to find the chair?
I did not read it, no.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
He does good stuff. But, I mean, I could almost probably hear it just screeching along.
It's supposedly in a closet or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Like under lock and key?
No. Like it's with a bunch of other chairs.
So it'd be hard to distinguish it from anything else.
Or it might be gone. Like they think that it's there, you know.
Yeah. Or it could have been, you know, a leg might have been broken and got tossed out. But, again, yeah, so much history. So many great games I watched on TV just to kind of, you know, take that in would be pretty cool, I think.
My number five is the Carrier Dome, Syracuse.
Yeah.
For a basketball
30,000.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it seat like 50,000?
I thought for hoops it was – they're usually in the 30 range, but I could be
I feel
wrong.
Like for the big games it's been like
– That would be a bananas environment for sure.
Especially like if they were back – 49,250.
Okay.
That's a lot of people for a basketball game.
Indeed it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Carrier Dome, that would be outstanding, especially when Syracuse is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not – they probably wouldn't have been as fun this year, but, like, when they were number one and stuff like that. Well, I mean, yeah, but in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of stuff hanging over them, too.
Right.
Obviously, for good reason, I think. No, good pick. I'll move to my number four, and getting the non-Big 12 stuff out of the way. Cameron Indoor, never been. I mean, Dean Dome would be almost – you could almost make that slash Dean Dome. Maybe drive that Tobacco Road trip, that short trip, and you hear the stories about what Coach K would say. I would never sit down and have a cup of coffee in Chapel Hill. I mean, to just go there and play basketball and get out.
Right.
Now they're so close. You know, it's – but, you know, the Cameron crazies, again, the history there, just be interesting to compare because, let's face it, I mean, the noise at Hilton and the magic, quote-unquote, that the fans create and the teams create for the fans is really special. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you experience – Allen Fieldhouse, you can see there are elements of Hilton Magic when the game is big that, you know, everyone will say, like you ask, like last year, I remember asking Seth Greenberg and Jay Williams, you know, where Hilton ranked, and I believe they basically both said right behind Allen Fieldhouse in terms of atmosphere in the Big 12. And sometimes, I think Seth mentioned that he felt himself like shaking, or there's a different, and Jay Williams said some unbelievable things about it too. That make Hilton particularly interesting, but Cameron, I think, would be a whole other animal. And you're so removed from the Big 12 too, so it's just a pure basketball experience. And
yeah,
that would be awfully cool.
All right, my number four is a little bit different.
Good for you,
Alex Box Stadium, LSU baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just a whole other kind of animal.
They should serve,
those people are crazy.
They should serve booze at those games, like baseball. In the summer, hotter than
I feel like if they don't, if they don't, then those people drink plenty of booze before.
Serve up some mint juleps.
They tailgate hardcore.
Oh yeah, SEC. I mean, baseball is huge.
Yeah,
I mean, you get big crowds.
They used to bring like a whole city of people to Omaha back in the day when LSU came to the College World Series every year.
Yeah, yeah. That would be fun. I mean, the heat. I mean, I had family in New Orleans, and then I had a cousin go to LSU, and that's why the family thing. But I remember spending some summers just New Orleans is a bit farther down, you know, and right there up the Gulf, and you got Lake Pontchartrain there. But oh my gosh, when you went down in the summer, I remember sitting in a chair, and you can't stop sweating. You just can't. I'm sitting in a chair. So I get the pace of light, you know, the south, you know, it's interesting dynamic. And I could imagine some of those games are like, that's why some cool beverage, you know, it's just ice cold water's fine too. But no, that's a great pick. I like it. So should I go number three?
Yeah.
I put one of your honorable mentions as my number three, Pauley Pavilion.
Yeah.
In part because I've never been to LA except to fly in and fly out. So that goes in it. I also want him envision Bill Walton and, you know,
Lou Alcindor
doing his thing. Yes, yes, yes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor, one and the same.
Mm-hmm. Not when he was at UCLA though. He was Lou Alcindor.
That's true. Okay. But Wooden prowling the sidelines, I mean, it just – I think the place would just reek of history in nice old building. You know, I mean, I'm sure upgraded and all that, but also I'm sure with some incredible displays from those great runs that UCLA had in the late 60s and 70s.
My number three is the Pit at New Mexico.
Nice.
Just another one that I feel like has a lot of history. Kind of another one that's kind of out of the box, but –
We've picked two venues that Steve Alford has been the head coach at.
Back to back.
Yeah. One at which he was reasonably successful, the Pit.
Yeah.
Not so much at Pauley Pavilion so far. It would probably be a pretty depressing place nowadays.
The Pit, yeah, there's just been a lot of historic games there, I feel like.
I can tell you when I was in college, you know, when ESPN would show one of those, gosh, I don't even know what it would have been at the time, the WAC, maybe.
Yeah.
Games from the Pit, and they'd call it the Pit. They'd go into it, you know, the history of what teams come in, and, you know, something about that building that really empowered New Mexico, even in off years, to kind of knock up. It's kind of like Hilton was for, you know, when the Cyclones weren't let's say the Cyclones were a fringe NCAA team or maybe an NIT team, they'd still knock off a number of the top Big 12 or Big 8 teams then at home because of the power of the fans in that building and the mm-hmm. mystique and all that. And the Pit seems to be New Mexico's version of that.
All right, what do you got, number two?
Number two, I'm moving on to the Big 12, and I'm going to pick a couple of obvious. I mean, I've got a pretty obvious list, so usually I'm way outside the box, but these are from the heart picks. Daryl K. Royal Stadium in Austin, Texas. Never covered a game there. Never been to a game there. I've been to Austin, but that would be an experience. Again, regardless of how good the team is, I mean, I'm sure there's some incredible historic displays and everything mm-hmm. there. And just to get the vibe, I mean, people are going to keep coming. It's Texas football. And the tailgating, the experience of being in the stands, I think would be awfully cool.
I've got Happy Valley, number two.
Yeah.
And Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Just, or if I could go, like, during a whiteout, you know, one of the night games.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd want to do that.
Would you wear black?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I would probably be neutral.
You could wear gray.
Yeah. There we go. But, yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah,
especially if they were good. I mean, if they weren't any good, I'm sure it wouldn't be as – I mean, another thing, they probably wouldn't be as fun. But
yeah. But
– on their current James Franklin trend.
Yeah. Not an 11 a.m. game, though, right?
Right.
At least make it like a 2:30 or something.
Yeah. There's got to be some darkness. Like, I feel like every time
I've
watched
good
a crazy game
at
Happy Valley, it's been at nighttime.
Yeah. No, that would yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, who's your number one?
My number one, just because of recent success and for them, and again, a place, obviously, I've never been. I've never even been to Norman to cover anything. You wouldn't go to Norman for any other reason, I don't believe, unless you were going to school there. But Gaylord Family Stadium in Norman, Oklahoma, I'd imagine that environment is incredible. And the fact that they've been up there, I mean, look, you know, either winning the Big 12 or darn near, I know Baylor's had their little run. I just can't imagine wanting to go to any Baylor venue, even though I'm sure football has picked up. It's a small private school, so you don't have as large a fan base. So Oklahoma is going to be packed. You're going to have a lot of probably rightfully arrogant fans mm-hmm. there. It would be a fun place to go and pose as a fan of the other team and just kind of see what happens. But I know that another stadium, that incredible history there. I mean, go back to, excuse me, even before, but I can remember watching Billy Sims run wild over people. And
for sure.
Just great player after great player and, you know, iconic coaches. Not all of them, certainly during a stretch, you know, when they, you know, John Blake and Howard Schnellenberger didn't exactly succeed there. I'm picking for history on a lot of these. And this one, while not as historic, I think, as some of the others, are not as compelling as history-wise, just has a different, would give me a different feel. And it would be kind of at the top of the list because of how little I know about it.
My number one's Cameron Indoor.
Yeah.
Like when we first made this, when this one came up, that was the first one that came mm-hmm. to my mind. So, yeah, it was my obvious choice for me.
Yeah. Would you, if you went to a game there, would you get into it and try to be like a crazy and root for Duke, or would you just kind of?
I'd just take it in. I'd soak it in.
And once you cover games, it's almost impossible to root for things, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I'll go to the baseball games, pro games, Cubs, Red Sox. I can't get into it like I did before I was a sports reporter.
Yeah.
You'd get into it and cheer for your team. Yeah, yeah. The only way I can get into it like that now is when I'm watching my son play Little League or my daughter play AAU volleyball. Then I'm cheering like a fan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, great list. I think a lot of these are, again, as usual, kind of interchangeable. Five could be one, two, and three. And there are just some loads of great honorable mentions, too.
We want to know your list. Send them to us on Twitter, at Rob W. Gray, at Stans51. We, of course, need more suggestions, so we are always willing to take those, always wanting to take those. What else you got, dude? We're right at half an hour. You said you got to get up to Ames, so.
Yeah, I think I'm good. But definitely appreciate the list. I think we might have one in the hopper still, but we want to keep it rolling throughout the summer. You'll have a guest host a couple times,
yeah.
I think, this summer.
Yeah, for sure.
As I'm up on the lake at the cabin a couple times this summer.
Yeah, I'm working on trying to get maybe one of my buddies on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I'm going to – I talked to Matt Nelson from Wide Right Natty Light. Yeah. He might come on with me one time. And
you should do one with, I'm well, still with a little dreaming. E by it.
I still have a dream of getting Ted Flint on the seniors. If it has to be as a co-host, so be it.
Yeah.
But we're going to get him on here.
We got to figure out how to tie phone calls into, you know, because I made a little appearance on his fine
Drunk Dialing.
Yeah, podcast. It was a blast, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, it was
fun.
Were
you drunk?
No. Perhaps I was buzzed. I made a call from the man cave / kid cave on the lower level here at the
Is that where Derek plays abode. Plants vs. Zombies?
That's where he plays, yeah, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare, and the like.
Nice.
But when it's man cave time, it's man cave time.
Yeah,
there's no Xbox One getting fired up at that point.
Does he play any sports video games?
He's got to get into them. He really doesn't.
You got to get him playing 2K.
Yeah. I should. It's like anything, like with when you're buying their stuff for their youth sports, you don't want to go all in on the most expensive stuff because they might decide they don't like it, and then you're saddled with that $200 bat.
For sure.
So I maybe would get like the 2014 2K or yeah. something, like they're selling for $20 or something, and then okay, let's see if he's into this.
Let him try it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then if he's not, it's like okay, then I'll play it.
And then you'll have to come in and get ran by me.
Oh my God, you'd beat me worse than you would have beat Adam Gray in that mythical one-on-one that didn't occur.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm still calling it.
It just it will never come to pass.
By the way, I'll be on two podcasts with Adam Gray this week. I'll be on the seniors and the recruiting podcast later in the week.
Oh, the Fallcast.
No, I meant the Fallcast, yeah. So we'll have plenty of time to discuss this.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
And we love Adam, but it's very clear that he's ducking you. So.
He no-showed my party.
Yeah, and I thought he was still coming to the party. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Like I said, we
it's okay. We I talked Adam. To him he's yesterday. I talked to him yesterday. Worked it out.
You ironed things out. Okay.
I only hate him a little bit.
Oh, nice.
All right. With that, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks for listening, guys.